The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We're back. One of our favorite moments of the week when Stinch shows up, the former Georgia All-American Hall of Famer. And before we get to other issues, I want to play for the audience again who may have just missed it. This was a caller from Alabama talking about the future roadmap for the Crimson Tide.
We'll beat Georgia twice. We'll beat them in the SEC. We'll kick that ass in the Natty.
I'll just repeat it for those of you who need help. We'll beat Alabama twice. We'll beat them in the SEC championship, and I'm saying, quote unquote, we'll beat that ass in the Natty. So, are you on board?
No, I'm not going to co-sign on that one. I don't think. There's a lot of connotations with that phrasing that he chose to use anyway. You know, is it you're just going to win the game, or is it you're going to beat him down, so to speak?
Seems like way.
He sounds like he's probably trying to put a little salve on the wound. And they'll probably face each other in the championship. The idea that they drop another game is kind of tough to wrap your head around. But I never would have thought that we'd be sitting here talking about a one-loss Alabama team after playing A&M at this juncture in the season.
We've had all the Monday morning quarterbacks call in. I'm curious because you do this professionally. You when you look at tape, you have a clue what you're looking at, unlike the rest of us. So when you watch that game, what did you see?
Well, I will say this. That's the best we've seen A&M play, and I do think that there's an element of environment that plays into the performances that we've seen out of Alabama. I keep going back to the fact that there was a lot, especially on the offensive side of the ball, a lot of new faces, and they have not performed well in hostile environments and under duress, and that was evident again the other day. And, I know that I think he's still the front runner for the Heisman Trophy, is Bryce Young, and you can't lay the defeat at his feet, first of all, but I will say that the trend this year for Alabama – has been more pass oriented when they're in scoring position, meaning like high red zone area, even low red zone area in this game. Meaning, oftentimes you would see teams running the football and they're more than half of the time passing the football.
So let me go to that because that's the one series that everyone is fixating on. It didn't decide the game. We all know that. But so I think I think Alabama had it. First down on the three and had three consecutive passes. Take us through the mindset there.
I don't share the mindset, so it's hard to understand it entirely, right? I will say that given the talent that you have at running back and the type of runner that Brian Robinson is, you'd think that there was opportunity, sure. We can also point out that in those red zone possessions, you also have a drop in the end zone. I mean, that was another – instance or incident in this game that you don't often see from Alabama, where I think there were seven drops. That's the most they've had in a game, I think, in over a decade. Mm-hmm. So when you think about all the other happenstances in that game, and maybe they just kind of all coalesced in the wrong moment versus the wrong team at the wrong time, and I don't want to take anything away from A&M, but it is – I'm hard-pressed
to
think.
When you pass on first down and it doesn't work, where are you?
Well, you're at second and goal.
Yeah,
at that point,
I know that.
Right,
right.
So you burned it down. But you could easily, given the field that you have to play with, absolutely you can on a 3-yard line, right? Where it's different than taking a shot on first down in the field, right?
Right.
Because I still have 10 yards to go. Well, now you miss on that first down shot. It's still just 3 yards though on the 3-yard line, and so can you come back and run it? You absolutely can, and I do think that sometimes I'm not saying that that's what happened here, but you'll see play callers. And they'll get, they're too clever by half sometimes, where you're looking at the defense. And in the field, it makes sense to run when the numbers and the box are equal, or even if you have an advantage, which is rare. But in the RPO, the advent of RPOs, that's possible. In the red zone, the low red zone, and what is effectively a goal line scenario, you're not going to have a numbers advantage. There's not enough field to defend. So that defense is condensed. At that point in time, though, there has to be – the trust has to now pivot to your personnel more than anything else. It's not like, well, schematically, we can formation our way to an advantage here. No, not in the low red zone and not on the goal line, because there's just not enough grass for you to disperse that defense. So at some point in time, you have to say, you know what, my guy is going to be good enough to beat your guy. And then the guy who ends up with the ball, he's going to have to BYOB, bring your own block. That means there's going to be a free hat. There's probably going to be two, because those safeties, right, they're not playing deep. They might as well be linebackers. So you have to trust your personnel at that point in time. And I don't know that it was a lack of trust or not, but I do know that it is surprising that there weren't more run plays called, especially when you're playing on a three-yard field like that.
Is there any way to characterize Bill O'Brien? We're now six games into the season.
I don't think so. I mean, and much has been made about how when these play callers come to Alabama and they take on the framework that already exists there, where it's you can tweak, you can adapt, but you're not going to just implement. We're not going to adopt you. You're going to adopt us, so to speak, when these new play callers come in. I mean, much has been made about when Lane Kiffin came in and how he brought the no huddle and tempo and all this stuff and spread. He didn't do any of that. What are we talking about? That wasn't his offense. He was brought in because he was a good offensive mind, and he learned those elements and did a phenomenal job of implementing it. But that wasn't his MO. That was something that was said as a program. We're deciding that we're going to lean into this offensive philosophy, and we want you to be the guy to do it. Go learn how to do it. And so that, I think, kind of implies and informs the mindset of what these offenses are. So you look at Bill O'Brien, and is it that big of a distinction? I don't think so. I don't see it that way. I don't look at them on Saturdays and go, wow, this is a totally different Alabama offense. But you can look at, you know, the play calling decisions, and this straddles more than just one play caller, because there's been a revolving door in Tuscaloosa. But the kind of scoring position, red zone type play calling, especially in that game the other night, really this entire season, it has been more pass oriented. I don't know what or why that is, and yeah, I'm sure they're seeing something during the week that informs that.
One last question on Alabama. You know, a lot of negativity is directed toward the coaches. I always love it. At most schools, it's fire the head coach. At Alabama, it's fire the coordinators.
Because that's true, yeah. There's one degree of separation always.
The head
right?
coach is sacrosanct. Yeah. You can't talk about him. So Pete Golding is the defensive coordinator, and fans are unhappy with him. But I ask you, because the head coach is on the headset, and he knows what's going on.
Right.
So how does that work at Alabama?
Yeah, I will say this, and I'm not quick to point to players. Players play. You know, these coaches, they do everything they can, right? And maybe they're not doing as good a job as they should or have been in the past, or other coaches have in the past. But eventually, players got to go out there and they got to play ball. And most of the time, you're not in some unsound defensive call. It might not be optimal, but you'll hear defenders talk about this, and it's true, is that if one of us is wrong, then we need to all be wrong the same way. Meaning, are we playing cover two or cover three? Well, we're supposed to be playing cover two, but we all played cover three. We can survive.
Right.
It might not be the call that was made or even intended, but we all got to be on the same page. You know, the other night you see Jalen Weidermeyer get that. He's standing when he receives the pass from Calzada. It's busted coverage. Now, I feel certain that the call from the sideline wasn't, hey, tell you what, turn the tight end loose.
Right.
So you can and people will say, well, isn't that coaching? You can coach him up so much, and there is some ownership at the player level. There's a reason why Will Anderson this week was going, I'm not real happy. I don't think my message after the Florida loss, I don't know that guys took it seriously. And I think that's a fantastic thing for him to be saying. Maybe guys are listening to him now. But that all it implies that is there maybe some lack of ownership in that locker room based on what it is that they're trying to accomplish. And that's not unique to Alabama. That's every team is going to experience this to some extent. Maybe it raised its head more extensively versus A&M than we've typically seen. I'm not absolving Pete Golding in any way. And at the same time, I will point out that eventually these players make coaches right more often than people, I think, realize. There's a lot of times Auburn won a game the other day. It wasn't because of the offensive play calling on those plays. He just figured it out. We've seen Anthony Richardson repeatedly this year for Florida rip off great plays. He broke the play. He busted on three or four different assignments and then makes this great play. So that's more his fault than it would be the coach's fault. But these things, if they work out, we forget about what was supposed to happen. If it works out in, you know, a positive way. If it works out negatively, what's going on, coaches? Coaches, why are we in that call? And the coaches don't have the opportunity really to say, we weren't in that call. I don't know what happened. The guy, you know, went into vapor lock on us.
I want to end on that question, because you don't know what's going on in the locker room, but how much do you read into what Anderson said, and what do you think it could mean?
I think you've got a guy that's an alpha player, and you want your alpha players to be your leaders. They don't have to be. You don't have to be a great player to be a leader, but you want your best players to be leaders. And I think that's precisely what he is not trying to be, what he is being in those moments, in that phrasing, where I don't doubt for a moment that he had that conversation, whatever it was after Florida, which was, hey, this ain't it, guys. And Alabama's got a tradition that they've built on that side of the ball specifically. So I feel certain that they were embarrassed. A lot of people said about Ole Miss last year and then coming into this year. And I think Greg McElroy made a great point where he was saying, do we not think that this Alabama defense is embarrassed and has been thinking about this Ole Miss game ever since it happened? They absolutely have. I think what Will Anderson is doing is he's saying, let me be a reminder to us all that there's a standard that we're supposed to play to here. And it's not just Coach Saban's standard. It's former players and their standard as well. And they want to carry on that mantle. And maybe there's some guys that aren't stepping up to where they can carry that standard the way it should. I don't think that it's a sign of trouble. I think that the fact that he did it in the media, it could be troubling if it's coming from a guy who isn't a vocal leader, who it's just kind of taking a pot shot next, you know, maybe I'm not getting my playing time, whatever it is. He's a star, and he'll be a star whether this defense plays great or not. I think what he's doing is he's making sure that that message is now amplified. Maybe you didn't hear me last time. So now let me make sure that not only will you hear it from me personally, now you can read about it and you can hear about it from talking heads like me that are going to give it some more run, and with the hopes of it having a similar effect. And then maybe our guy from Tuscaloosa, if they toe the line and do it right, then they get a crack at the championship at the end of the season.
Well done, Matt Sinchcomb. More later on SEC Now. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thanks.
Great stuff. Always an essential part of our weekly conversation. We will take a break. More to come. John Adams in the final hour from Knoxville. Yes, they got a Tennessee's got a football team this year.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back, and thanks for being here. John Adams joining us in the final hour on the resurgent Tennessee Vols. So how about Jared in Memphis? You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Paul Feinbaum, you know who it is. You remember me from about 2 or 3 months ago when I called and said Albert Mean?
Yeah, I sure do.
At Tennessee. Yeah, okay. Now, I'm mad at you. And you know why I'm mad at you? Because after we got off the phone, you didn't give me any response like you do, legend. You don't give any back and forth. You just go to the next caller. And then you let the lawyer rip me to pieces. I was actually vacuuming my living room, and I see if Jared's listening, and then you let him rip me to pieces for 15 minutes. You gave him some serious TV time there. Now I'm back again. And you know what's good is going to work. Now let me tell you something before I go any further. I'm living behind enemy lines, Paul. I say I'm from Memphis because I'm born and raised, but guess what? I live in southern Alabama. I'm surrounded.
So, Jared, you're a liar. You're a liar then,
I'm
right?
not. No.
You just got through saying you're not from Memphis. You live in South Alabama. So what am I supposed to conclude? You can't even be honest about where you're from when you talk to a phone screener.
No, I am. Look, I've been down here for 10 years, and it is the greatest thing to go to work and listen to these excuses by these Alabama fans of, oh, well, blah, 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 this and that. It's like I felt like being a little kid on Christmas Eve, the night before Christmas, coming into work and seeing these guys call in sick. Yeah, I bet y'all were sick. Because let me tell you something. We're going to beat up on Ole Miss this weekend, which I'll be in the stands. And then we're going to go up to Bryant-Denny and whoop up on Alabama. And if they beat Alabama, I want you to say on air right now that you will give me a slot in your little squad of normal callers. I want you to say that.
Tony is up next. Good afternoon, Tony.
Well, good afternoon, Paul. I want to caution a lot of these Alabama and Georgia fans, of which I'm a Georgia fan, that they're planning on this meeting in Atlanta, but Georgia's got three formidable teams we've got to play. We've got to play Florida, ranked. We've got to play Tennessee, which is now ranked, and Kentucky this weekend. And Alabama has some fairly decent teams ahead of them. So we can't assume that that's going to happen. However, I will say this to the guy that put the thing out. If we beat those three teams, we are going to kick Alabama's ass all over Atlanta if they get it there. So I'm not the slightest bit worried about it because the defenses that used to be at Alabama are now in Athens, and they used to win ball games, just absolutely dominate teams. And I think that defense in Georgia looks like one of the old Alabama defenses.
So it really does.
Well, I'll tell Alabama, bring it on. Let's go.
Hey, thank you, Tony. Yeah, I don't know why after last week, in seeing what happened in College Station, we just can't go week to week. Well, I don't know why we have to immediately skip half the season, but thanks anyway. Appreciate the call. Dale in Valdosta, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
I'm trying to figure out why the Alabama fans are all crying and upset. Alabama's coming back. They only lost one game.
Dale, that is a pretty fair question. I'll see if I can get you an answer before we go off the air. How about Jeremy up next? Good afternoon, Jeremy.
How you doing, Paul Fine Bob?
Jeremy, we are doing well. Thank you for the call.
Hey, listen, no, I had spoke with the people on the, that kind of screened your calls and stuff, and I had told them that I didn't hear nobody talking about the Texas A&M players in the second half, especially going to the ground. Not saying they wasn't hurt, but every first down or second down, even if we didn't make a yard, they were falling down, getting hurt, slowing the game down big time. Now, listen, congratulations, Texas A&M, you won. We played a terrible ball game. We shot ourselves in the foot plenty of times, but still, it didn't seem right because after they went out of the game for the one play, they were back in at 110%. It never slowed them down, and I just kind of feel like that they were kind of slowing the game down too, kind of taking us out of our, out of our element
Jeremy,
there.
That's up to the officiating crew to control that. I can't tell you whether they were hurt or not. I can tell you the playing in that type of heat and humidity against the best team at the time in the country can be pretty exhausting, and getting up slow is probably not a bad idea in that set of circumstances. We are heading to the break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. One more guest to go. We had the Backstreet Boys on earlier. They're both Kentucky football fans, if you're wondering why we had them on. And we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And Richard is up next, calling from Texas. Hey, Richard, go right ahead.
Hey, thanks, Paul. Honored to talk to you. Love the
Thank
show.
You.
Listen, maybe it's just from a maroon perspective here, but, you know, the Aggies did have something to do with Alabama losing the game. And I don't think they're getting the credit. I know it's not good for a team to lose two games in a row just because your quarterback goes down. They should have responded to that better. But the second-string quarterback, Calzada, got his act together. It took him a couple of weeks to do it. But I don't think the rankings are reflecting properly. I didn't expect him to be top 10, but I certainly didn't expect him to be closer to SMU than they were to Alabama or even the top 10. I think the Aggies got shook when King got hurt, and I think that they're back on the right track. My question to you is, where do you think it's going to wash out for the Aggies if they continue to play well the rest of the year?
Well, I do think they need to be careful this weekend. They're playing a pretty average team, but I'm always concerned with a team coming off of a monumental victory. Oftentimes,
the old bounce.
Yeah, it's dangerous. Having said that, I think they're in really good shape. They have Ole Miss remaining. I'm trying to remember where that game is, whether it's in...
it's in Mississippi.
Okay, I think that's a really tough game for them. But beyond that, I think they can manage the rest of the way.
Well, I hope so, and I hope the nation starts looking at A&M like, well, there's no question they didn't respond well after King got hurt, but... that was a good game Saturday, and it was a great plan. And let's give the Aggs a little credit.
Yeah, the schedule, thank you very much. Other than Missouri, South Carolina, and Auburn at home, and I think the Ole Miss game is really going to be tough. The LSU game, I can't imagine what shape the LSU program will be in on the final Saturday of the year. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. Jordan is up next in Jasper. I'm assuming that's Jasper, Tennessee. Is that right?
Yes, it's Jasper, Tennessee.
Wonderful.
I'm calling you, Paul, because I'm an Alabama fan. I come from a bunch of Alabama people. My grandpa went to the University of Alabama during Bear Bryant's dynasty.
Right.
And I was just wondering. Thank y'all for taking my call. I was just wondering. I know there's been some execution problems on the Alabama defensive side, but I think a lot of it might be because of the scheme. I mean, I know the scheme was from Saban, and I know he's the best coach of all time. I just don't think some of the calls are correct, and I think that maybe Pete Golding should be fired.
Jordan, how old are you?
I'm 13.
Okay. you're certainly sounding like your elders. I mean, I don't hear many good things from the fans about Pete Golding. I tried to look at all the different variables, but I really appreciate your call. Thanks so much, and you take care of yourself. So a 13-year-old Alabama fan from Tennessee is calling for the defensive coordinator to be fired at Alabama. Paul is in Charlotte. How are you, Paul? Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. You know, something's going on. The Alabama mobile homes or retirement homes have figured out how to get by the supply chain problem with the liquor stores. It's clear from today. I don't know if it's your having new kids on the block or maybe as a guest and is creating some mojo, but let's talk football.
Don't forget tomorrow, NSYNC will be with us.
Well, I'm waiting for New Edition. I mean, how many people are we going to go back to the 80s and 70s?
They're too old for the show, New Edition.
Well, hey, let's just bring them all in. Hey, with Arkansas's schedule, I'm kind of thinking that Arkansas and A&M and the Texas wins are looking better and better, strength of schedule, not to mention the other all the other ranked teams. I haven't heard you go through the, hey, here's what I'm thinking going through the rest of the second half of the year. Seven, eight wins? What are you thinking on the year?
I see one game remaining that I think it would be a loss for Arkansas, and that's Alabama. I think they'll beat everyone else. State at home, I think it sets up well for the Hogs. At LSU, that looks like a tough game. I mean, right now LSU is so difficult to predict because I don't know who will be the coach on November 13th at LSU. So I can't imagine without Boutte and Stingley gone, they're going to be much of a problem. So I think right now I'd have to say Arkansas could end up 9-3, which is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean we were hoping for 4, so that's great. Well, maybe we get a breathalyzer on the next iPhone version, and we can get rid of some of those other calls about vax and all the other. I don't need to know about diabetes and the fishing report from Alabama.
Hey, thank you very much, Paul. Nice of you to call. Let's continue with more calls and Justin in Kentucky. How are you, Justin?
I'm good, sir. How you doing?
We're doing great.
I'm a big Tennessee fan, and I was just going to ask you what I feel like Tennessee can play fairly with Ole Miss. I just kind of get your thoughts on what you thought about.
Yeah, I think they can. I mean, Tennessee, I've talked to a number of people about them off the air and some on. This isn't just some mirage. I mean, this is real. They are playing great football right now. And, you know, they have tremendous momentum coming into this game.
I think
of all the big games this weekend, this is the hardest one to call because I understand why Ole Miss is favored, but
one more question, sir.
Sure.
I know that Cooper Mays is going to play. You know anything about Slaughter? As you heard, by any chance?
Yeah, let me find out in the next hour. We have John Adams in, and he covers the team for the Knoxville paper. So I will I'll hit all those questions up with him. Jamie is it? I don't know what, I felt like I was being electrocuted there. Jamie is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going, Paul? My question is, how good can Georgia be if they didn't have these many injuries that I've been hearing about? Seems like every week I got a Wikipedia, all these wild receivers that we got out here.
Yeah, well, that happens to everyone at this point, but Georgia started the season about as banged up as you can, and they have figured out ways to win. I mean, we're seeing Georgia excel without what we all thought was their best offensive player or one of their best before the season. So I think what they've done is pretty remarkable, but I think they can be a lot better.
Yeah, I think they could, too.
And they may need to be. Again, I don't want to be dismissive of Kentucky. I think they've been a phenomenal story. But, you know, Georgia needs – they really do need JT Daniels, I think, perhaps this weekend, at least certainly for the Florida game and later on against Alabama, if that is indeed the SEC championship game. Joel is in Kentucky. You're on the air. Go right ahead, Joel.
Paul, I just don't understand who put that spread up there because we're the best defensive team that Georgia's played since Clemson. You know, points.
Yeah, Joel, let me explain one more time about the spread, and I've done this a few times, so some of you, I'll make it quick. The spread in Vegas is not a prediction of the game. The spread in Vegas is what the Sharpies put up on the board to get equal betting on both sides. So whatever that number is, and what is it now, 23 and a half,
that is
what the people that bet, and a lot of, you know, if you're a really sharp bettor, you either gamble early on depending on where the number is, or you come in late.
That's where it's. I don't know if you follow Wall Street, but a stock price is you know when more people buy the stock, it goes up, and when people sell, it goes down. Same way with the betting line. That does not mean anything in terms of hey, we think Kentucky is no good. That's just a perception right now, and that's the better question is why is the public so down on Kentucky's ability to make this game close?
I agree 100%. Not only that. Mark Stoops ought to use that for, you know, to motivate his team because our offense is also playing a little better than they was. And I think Georgia's got their hands full.
Well, I can't wait to get there Friday. Hey, thank you for the call. Luke is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Luke.
Hello. How you doing?
We're doing great.
Hottie. You know, I was going to talk about the Alabama game a little bit, but the guy said for me not to talk about that since we're going on to the Tennessee game. But you know, I think we can pull a win out. You know, I think we're actually 44% to win based on the FPI. We're 4-point favorites. But especially if we can get Jake Springer back on the defense. He was on the defense in the Louisville game. He got hurt after that. In the Louisville game, we played the best defense that we played all year. You know, and we played in a hostile environment, 107,000 fans. I was there at the game, at the Alabama game, and so we've got that experience of knowing what.
Hey,
it's
by the way,
be
I think
like
you just, I just Luke, I think you just nailed something very important. Ole Miss will not be surprised by what they hear. Now, Neyland Stadium can be an eye opener for a lot of people, and this will be the first time I think in a while that Tennessee has that place filled to the top row. And a tremendous advantage. Travis is in Texas. Hey, Travis.
Hello, Paul. How are you today?
Well, Travis, thank you.
Paul, my second call to you, I want to tick off some reasons why Jimbo is not going to LSU. Forbes rates our program the most valuable program in America at A&M. They have a $500 million state-of-the-art stadium. Had 106,000 people there the other night. Jimbo has a ranch he often references and even includes in his TV commercials. He loves it. He goes and bids on the cattle himself. He's got a chance to win a national title here. He hadn't done that yet. He came here to build this program, and he hadn't finished his work. I don't think he's a guy that wants to leave when we're doing everything he's asking us to do, money-wise, facility-wise. I mean, we're unsurpassed in that regard. He came from a program, Florida State, that wouldn't give him any facilities, and we have done everything for him. He's got a special needs child he's an hour and a half away from the Texas Medical Center in Houston, which I understand he values that. You know, he's making $9 or $10 million a year. He's got a rabid fan base, and the buyouts of Orgeron and then coming here or leaving here, you know, are prohibitive for LSU. They don't have a lot of money down there, so I don't see, for a lot of reasons, Jimbo leaving here. He loves it here. I just can't, and I'm trying to be candid.
Travis,
he'll get
there,
the call, but I don't
there,
think
I
he'll
don't,
take
but
it.
I completely agree with you, and I have a couple of really good friends who are connected to Texas A&M, and they have shown me around as opposed to just showing up at Kyle Field. And I don't think people understand the value of just that university, not only from a regional standpoint, but from a global standpoint. I've been at meetings in College Station and have learned about the reach of this university all throughout the world, especially the Mideast. And it's an incredible place. And I would agree with you about the fan base and the support, especially those who will step up when they're called upon. And that's not what he will find at LSU. LSU has a really good and a rabid fan base, but compared to the deep pockets of Texas A&M, it does not compare.
Exactly. Thank you for taking
my
call,
Paul.
And
I think,
yes, sir.
And I know Jimbo, and I know the situation you've alluded to because I've We did a show many, many years ago about Jimbo's child with the child's mother when we were back in Birmingham. And you know, if you're a parent, nothing's more important than that. I'm not saying that you can't find great health care in Louisiana. You can. I met a couple of physicians from Baton Rouge Saturday morning before I headed over to campus, and it is an outstanding place. But at some point, you just don't want to keep moving around. Jimbo spent a long time in Florida State. He won a title, and he wanted to leave because the commitment was not there, even though he got the title. So, well done. Thank you for the call. We are heading to a break, and much more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back, and I-Man is the next caller. Hello, I-Man.
Good afternoon. Live from the capital city, Paul. You know, last year, you said that Auburn should have lost to Ole Miss and Arkansas because of some weirdness. That Auburn should have lost them games. Arkansas, Ole Miss should have won them games. Well, they didn't. And you know why they didn't win? Because they didn't have enough points, Paul Feinbaum. And then you're sitting here trying to downplay the Bama thing a little bit. And you have yet to say one word about that free touchdown the SEC officials gave Alabama with 5 minutes left in the game on a penalty play that was not called. Not called at all. And I understand you're not going
to
do that because little Nicholas wouldn't. He didn't like that.
Called, I-Man.
Well, the whole world saw it as a penalty play.
I didn't see it that way.
It was. Oh, of course you didn't. And Nicholas reason, told you not to see it that
been,
way.
I may have been celebrating the victory.
Oh, you were, but you didn't realize that A&M. You know what the best thing about that game was the other night? Not that A&M won. It was how they won. They took that thing down to the zeros on the clock, and nothing. Larry, there ain't enough beer. There ain't enough people to fire for Legend. There ain't enough people for Jim to call. There ain't enough for anything.
I know we've had family conversations and all that, but moving your family aside, okay? On the Richter scale of enjoyment, I mean, how much do you enjoy an Alabama loss?
I love the Paul Feinbaum show. It's better than getting cartoons in the Sunday paper when I was a kid in color. And see, that's what's so good about 2021. I got it in high def. I got real money. I got a big TV. Real big TV. And it was real damn clear. And it was the most amazing thing because I knew what we would have this week. And we would have fans calling, thank you for your interview. You're making me feel so much better about my team. You got the hell beat out of you. You got your ass whipped so bad, Larry had to even come down here yesterday on this show and attack the staff. Because it's his party and he'll cry if he wants to. Well, he's crying. And there was nothing. There was no time on the clock. Nothing you could do about it. All you can do is wear it. And I tell you, the Bama fans need to take some instructions from Jim from Tuscaloosa. Tell them to lighten up on them straight jacket buckles just a wee bit. They'll be a tad bit more comfortable. Now, Paul Feinbaum, you have a great day. War damn eagle.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are some people who it doesn't matter that his team lost by 24 points at home to its second biggest rival. That's irrelevant. That's not part of the conversation. But, I mean, I-Man, his life seems to be built around Alabama losing a football game. And since it happens so infrequently, it could be part of the reason why he comes off miserable at times. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.